This is All of It on WNYC. I'm Kusha Navadar. The Italians, they really know how to snack. Biscotti, cakes, crackers, focaccia, and of course, pizza. The list is endless. Cookbook author Anna Francese Goss has written a new book celebrating the snacking culture of Italy. It's called Italian Snacking, Sweet and Savory Recipes for Every Hour of the Day. And recently, WNYC's David First was in the host chair to speak with Anna about her favorite Italian snacks for our new weekly series. We call it Food for Thought. We also took your calls, but quick reminder for everyone, today is an encore broadcast, so you'll hear callers in this conversation, but we can't take your comments live right now. David started by asking what role snacks play in Italian culture.
So Italian snacks are a very big part of the culture. They're really, for lack of a better term, very baked in. And the reason that they're so baked in is because there's definitely a lifestyle choice in Italy, and I think in Europe as a whole, that eating is kind of a part of your day that has to have focus and concentration. It's not an afterthought. When you think about a snack here in the United States, it's a bag of chips, it's a walk to this vending machine, and that's just not heard of there. And, you know, no judgment, but I really, my mission is...
I'm hiding my bag of chips under the table right now.
Well, no, that's part of your lunch, so that's okay. And no, no judgment. I always live in a no judgment zone. I say there's no food police, so absolutely enjoy those chips. I am a big fan of potato chips. But what I will say is I think that intentional eating is really important. And I think that's kind of my mission statement with this book. And what you'll find in Italy is that in the morning, you know, you get up and you have your espresso or your cappuccino and you have your – but then around 10 o'clock – and you'll know this if you try to buy a ticket or go to the bank at 10 o'clock in the morning in Italy – there's not a lot of people around working, and that's because there is a little break in the day. You know, sputino di metà mattina, a little bite in the middle of the morning is how it translates. And that is really when you're going to take a stop and you're going to have another coffee to keep you going till lunch, and you're going to have something to eat with it, just something small. It doesn't have to be anything too fancy, whether it's a biscotti, whether it's a little pizzette. They have all kinds of things at the bar. And if you've been to Italy, you know the bar is not what we call the bar. It's a coffee shop with pastry and sandwiches and espresso and cappuccino. So you're going to take a little stop at the bar. You're going to meet up with a friend or a colleague, and you're going to have that little mid-morning snack, and that's going to energize you till lunch.
So you outline the four different snacking categories that Italians participate in throughout the day. And I feel like looking at the photos in the book that we need to maybe add a fifth. But break it down. What are the four categories?
Okay. So the one I just mentioned is spuntino di metà mattina, which is, I know it's a big mouthful.
I'm going to let you say that.
Yeah, exactly. Say that to five times fast. Yeah. So that is your mid-morning snack. And spuntino in Italian translates to little bite. So that's what that is. Then, of course, you're going to have your lunch. But then in the afternoon, there's two more stops on this food train. The first one is called merenda. And this is something that you'll find all over Europe by different names and also in lots of Latin American countries. And it is the after-school snack for kids. It is part of the tradition. You come home from school and your nonna has a little piece of cake for you, maybe from the what was left over from last night's dinner, some cookies. They even consider a gelato an afternoon snack, a sorbet, and something like that, a little sorbetto. And what I love about the word, it comes from the Latin merere, and it means to deserve. So think about this. You went to school, did your math, you listened to the teacher, you come home, you wipe your brow. Your nonna takes your book bag and lets you sit down because you deserve this snack. And I just kind of love that, you know, that it's something that as you're walking home from school that you're thinking about. And then I have something else, of course, that I wanted to bring up in the book, which is what we could call adult merenda, which is antipasto hour. And that's something that we've really embraced here in this country. What's different here is you'll notice if you go to Italy, and people are always wowed by this, when you do go out for an aperitivo, you're never just given the aperitivo. They always come out with three or four bowls of what? Snacks. Because Italians don't drink without a little bite of food for a couple reasons. One, there's not really a mentality to drink or overdrink. And food and wine or food and cocktails are meant to be met paired. So, of course, if you're out, you know, they're going to – and everyone's like, I went to Italy and I ordered a drink and I got all this free food. I'm like, yeah, that's just part of the culture. You're going to have some snacks given to you when you're having something to drink.
I know a lot of us love a good biscotti with our coffee or tea. Let's talk about biscotti. You have recipes for a few different kinds in the book.
Yes. So another thing that I've noticed when I go to Italy, and I don't know if other people do, but when I go to Italy, I love to go to the grocery store because I love to look around. And what you will not find in Italy is a cereal aisle, okay? You go to any American grocery store, you're going to have a cereal aisle. Well, in Italy, they don't have a cereal aisle because Italians don't eat cereal in the morning. They eat biscotti. So there is a whole aisle in every single supermarket that is dedicated to cookies. Now you're like, oh, this is crazy. How are you eating cookies in the morning?
That doesn't sound crazy at all.
But Italian cookies are not very sweet. They're more like tea biscuits. I mean, some of them will have a little chocolate, but you'll even find the recipes in this book are not overly sweet. Italians do not really use frosting. Things are not overly sensationalized with sugar. It's really more an emphasis on good chocolate, lemon zest, almond extract, other ways to emphasize and encourage those sweet notes without overpowering you with sugar.
I want to ask you this. I'm going to be putting my really bad Italian to the test here, but tell us about rustico leccese or puff pastry pizza pockets. Is that a good way to describe them?
100%. Rustico leccese. You did a good job.
Okay, it was close.
And this is exactly to my point. My kids love these, and they are a homemade pizza pocket. I don't know if you grew, depending on where you grew up, but I loved a good hot pocket growing up.
I was going to say, this sounds like probably a really, really good hot pocket.
Exactly. No microwave, you know, no shiny paper. This is the real deal. And all you need is puff pastry, which, as you know, you can get really good puff pastry in the grocery store. Tomato sauce. I give you my recipe, but get some jarred sauce if you're in a rush, shredded mozzarella, a little dried oregano, and you basically just take one piece of puff, you put the sauce, the cheese, the oregano, you put another piece on top, cut them into little pockets, little sandwiches, and you bake them off. And in 20 minutes, you have the most delicious hot pocket.
That sounds fantastic. We are speaking with cookbook author Anna Francese Goss. The new book is called Italian Snacking, Sweet and Savory Recipes for Every Hour of the Day. And let's hear from Siobhan calling from New Jersey. Welcome to All of It.
Hi, thank you so much. And hello, Anna Francese.
Hello,
hello. Ciao. Hi. I spent time in Sardinia learning Italian, and they have a delicious kind of cookie snack crossed between like a fruitcake and a biscotto. It's called papassini or papassino, and it has raisins in it and lemon zest, like you mentioned, not super sweet, but definitely those natural flavors. And it's like a biscotto, but it's got a lot of nice like fruit in it.
I
just fell in love with them.
Oh my gosh, I'm writing that down. I actually did not discover that one. I spent some time in Sardinia. I loved it there. And I do have a number of recipes in the book from my time there. You probably saw when you were there their love for amaretti cookies. So I had to make that. And I have another recipe from Sardinia called a panada. And there was a lot of Spanish influence in Sardinia. And it's like an empanada, but Italianized. And that's the other thing that I really got into in this book is how each region has incredibly different snacks. And a lot of it has to do, obviously, with climate, topography, availability of ingredients, but also border influence. And I know it's a peninsula, but if you're way up north, you're going to be eating a lot of fondue. And if you're way down south, you're going to be eating rice balls. So whether you're getting that French, Germanic, Austrian influence, or you're getting the Arab, Muslim influence, or if you're on the sides, you're getting some Spanish influence. And that fascinates me. And I love that about Italy.
Let's have another phone call. Diego calling from Williamsburg. Welcome to All of It.
Hi. Yes, I actually wanted to say that I was born in Trieste, and so I have a very strong tradition of Austrian-Hungarian food. In particular, sweet memory of my grandmother making for me and my brother butzolai, which were some cookies that we would actually dip in wine, of course, previous adult age, as usual, as we do in Italy. Or the putizza, which is a cake that my grandmother would bake during wintertime and especially under Christmas.
Well, Anna, Diego has a whole shopping list here for us.
Oh, my goodness. I'm so excited. I've had butzolai. I had them in Venice, which, as you know, has a lot of the shared recipes. But yes, I mean, it's just, there's just so many good things. There's so many beautiful dishes. And I do always love hearing these stories because it always starts with, well, my nonna used to make me this and my nonna made me that. And I loved when I went to Italy just talking to locals and saying, okay, well, what is the snack food that you really remember as a child? Because, and I think Diego will agree, you know, merenda is very important to little kids, you know, and that's kind of when they're getting that TLC from their nonna or their mother. And I just really love that. I really love that it's always kind of something made with care, even if it's a little panino di mortadella, whatever it is. Food is love. So any way you can show people that, I think, is nice.
Food is love. That's great. Let's hear another call. This is Juliet from Newark, New Jersey. Welcome.
Thank you for taking my call, and I am so appreciative for what I'm hearing, because I once lived in Brooklyn, and I used to go to the Italian neighborhood to get all the baked cookies, and my favorite thing, I will make a big pot of pasta with Italian sausage, and my kids enjoyed it. And one of the things that I always did, because I was a working mom, I always made a snack and leave it for them. So when they came home from school in the evening, they always had something to eat before dinner. And I could identify one of my favorite dishes when I go to an Italian restaurant was the baked salmon with sauté shrimp. So when it come on the line of Italian food, I ate it, I cooked it, and my children enjoyed it.
Aw, thank you so much for your call. Yes, well, you're not going to get any arguments from me. I definitely think Italian food is phenomenal. You're definitely a wonderful mama that your kids would come home to a nice merenda that you left for them. But yeah, I mean, we all, you know, we all enjoy different types of food, but I do feel very fortunate that I come from the land of the boot, where food is very, very good.
Well, Anna, we're getting a lot of phone calls and questions. One question from Melissa in Brooklyn. Do you have any recipes with fig and goat cheese? Had a flatbread once. It was phenomenal. And maybe I'll just ask you this, you know, do we have any happy hour snacks we can get to?
Yes, yes. So in the okay, so first I'll get to Melissa's question. So in the book, I have a recipe for piadina, which is the Italian flatbread. It comes together very easily. It's a simple dough. And then you just roll it out and fry it in a pan. And it's kind of like, I would say, the Italian version of like naan bread or pita bread, if you're, you know, thinking Greek food. And it's really easy. And what if you're in Bologna, or really anywhere in Emilia Romagna, which is where it's from, it's called piadina romagnola. You can get it there, and they fill it with whatever you want. The most traditional is mortadella, which is having a moment right now. The New York Times has reported, which is Italian bologna, let's be honest. But mortadella with ricotta and a little bit of pistachio, and that is my favorite. But I could totally see that piadina nice and warm off the skillet with some goat cheese and some figs. Yum. Now, to David's question about the aperitivi. Now, when you're having aperitivi, you have to have something salt or sweet or crunchy, like something that's really going to play off that alcohol that you're drinking. So I have two recipes for taralli, which is Italian pretzels. They'll always put these out at the bar. I have a recipe for a black olive pate ones, which I also have a recipe for black olive pate, but you can take it and put it in these taralli, and they have a nice little olive bite to them. And then I have spicy ones, a little red pepper in them. They're a little pink, and they're just great with a nice, robust glass of wine. And then another favorite from this time of day is the fried olives. Stay with me. They're called Olive dall'Ascolana. They're from Le Marche, which is right outside of Tuscany. Sorry, right outside of Florence in Tuscany. And these little olive babies are filled with ground pork, breaded and fried.
That's a lot of work.
It is, but, and thanks to my tester, after she made them, she froze them, popped them in the air fryer, and they came out amazing. So you can make these in advance, and then when you have people coming over, you can wow the crowd. And I will tell you, if you know Florence Fabricant from the New York Times, she made a list of the five foods you should eat before you die. These olives are on that list.
Oh boy, that's a good one to make sure we get in here. Can you say the name of it one more time?
Yes. Olive dall'Ascolana, because they're from Ascolana, which is an area.
Olive dall'Ascolana.
Yes. Okay. You're an Italian. By the end of this session, you are going to be an honorary Italian.
That was guest host David First's conversation with cookbook author Anna Francese Goss as part of our Food for Thought series. Her new cookbook is called Italian Snacking, sweet and savory recipes for every hour of the day.
And that's all of it for today. All of it is produced by Andrea Duncan Mao, Kate Hines, Jordan Loff, Simon Close, Zach Goderer-Cohen, L. Malik Anderson, Luke Green, and Aki Camargo. Megan Ryan is the head of live radio. Our engineers are Juliana Fonda and Jason Isaac. Luscious Jackson does our music. I'm Kushan Avidar. I appreciate you listening. I appreciate you. And I will meet you back here next time.
Myrtle Beach is the beach. 60 miles of bright sand, water, and a wealth of wonderful music playing day and night. You can step into a simple beach bar and discover a surprising level of exciting musical talent. A place to kick back and groove to the enticing soundtrack of the most unexpected vacations around. With nothing but good vibes floating through the warm ocean air. Plan your own music-filled trip to America's jukebox at visitmyrtlebeach.com.
The legend of Cayman Jack is just around the corner. Mixed with blue agave nectar, real lime juice, and cane sugar for the perfect balance of sweet, salty, and sour every time. Discover legendary taste with Cayman Jack, America's number one margarita. Premium flavored malt beverage. Please drink responsibly. All registered trademarks used under license by American Vintage Beverage Company, Chicago, Illinois.